Warning, the Geek Cave can at times contain mature language and immature humor. Hey nerds, we understand you. Drop those controllers, lose the wizard hat, and ready your Cheetos. It's time for some hard-hitting talk about the movies, books, and games you love. So get ready, oh searcher of useless knowledge. It's time to step into the Geek Cave. Now, broadcasting from a top-secret and totally awesome hidden base, I'm Kent Harris, and here's Darren Wright, Justin White, and Chad Savage.
And welcome to the Geek Cave Podcast. I'm Darren.
I'm sorry, you're who?
I'm Stefan.
There you go.
I'm Chad.
And I am Vengeance. I am the Knight. I am Robot Bunny Man.
You should have a Snickers.
Surprise, surprise, surprise.
In case you can't tell, we couldn't come up with anything for April Fool's this year. But it's okay, because we've got a fantastic episode for you. We've got a great special guest.
Actually, what Chad doesn't know is I'm wearing his underwear.
Ah.
April Fool's.
Little, yeah. So. If you have to tell them about the prank, does that really count then?
I filled all of your Germex bottles with personal lubricant. Surprise.
That's good, because they needed to be refilled.
And there's liquor in my chocolate milk. Comics.
What Darren doesn't know is we secretly replace his liquor with personal lubricant. Let's see if he notices.
Smooth.
Works its way right through him.
Oh, yeah.
We better make this a quick segment.
It just slid down my throat. Anyway, comics.
Insert really dirty joke now.
Oh. We should have like...
You're not really supposed to. That was their dirty joke.
Yeah. No, I know, but...
saying insert dirty joke means you don't actually have to make
no,
one.
No, I know. I was saying we should put some kind of music underneath for like a pause while we do the dirty joke. But since you felt the need to explain that to me, assuming, then never mind.
Awesome.
This thing's comics. Just sliding right along, isn't it?
Yeah. Sweet. Comics.
Comics, yeah. So... I'm going to say three words to you in a very exclusive order, and I want you to tell me what they mean to you, okay?
All right.
I am Groot.
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 Yo soy Groot.
I am Groot?
I am Groot.
Ich bin Groot.
Ich bin Groot, yes. So, yeah, Groot is getting his own...
Groot.
Groot is getting his own series this
June.
Just
me, Groot?
So, I hope there's more characters involved in this, because otherwise that's exactly what you're going to be reading.
I just want lots and lots of living trees. I am Groot. I am Ben.
I am Ben?
I am Ronaldo.
Why not? Just...
I'm Ronaldo. Yeah. I am Stefan.
I'm Mackenzie.
I'd like to apologize to anyone named Stefan. We are not actually making fun of you. It is a running joke. Don't worry about it.
It's more like a limping joke at this point, but still.
It's a long day.
It lumbers along.
Much like Groot. Get it? Lumbers.
And
nice.
Greg. Yeah. And Greg, he kind of, you know, lumbers along.
No, we've discussed this. Greg cannot lumber. He's not big enough.
Well, okay. Then what does he do?
Sachets.
Well, Grade will be sashaying on with another comic podcast in a couple of weeks, but anyway.
The last ones have been really, really good.
They have.
I really look forward to the next one.
You should listen to them.
And until we get to that point, maybe we should listen to what Justin has to say about
Let's
comics.
Let's do it.
I am Groot.
All right, he's done.
I've got comics.
Yeah. So, yeah, Groot is getting his own series this June, and... God love him. I hope there is several panels of nothing but I am Groot.
I have a feeling there will be.
Yeah. They've already proven that it works, because in an issue of Rocket Raccoon, he had Groot tell a story to a bunch of space Boy Scouts, and everybody's dialogue was I am Groot. You got to see what was going on, but everybody's dialogue was I am Groot, and it was glorious.
Seems legit,
yeah. So, mark that on your calendar. Groot, number one. Coming in June. It's a thing.
Be there.
Yeah. Oh. So, Convergence is a thing that's happening in the DC universe.
Yes. That's true.
Yep. The New 52 had a good run. Now they've decided to infinite crises everything again.
Now, what are they on, like 39 months? 40?
I don't know. Something like that.
Because it was 38 that Superman got his new power.
Yeah. 40 is when they wrapped up everything.
40 is when they...
Issue 41.
Issue 41.
So are they going to do one more year and they're going to end the new 52 on 52 episodes or 52 issues?
Well, we have a guest coming up who might be able to answer that question.
We'll find out.
Yeah, but until that time...
Stay tuned.
No, until that time, let's discuss costumes.
Okay.
So
why?
Because I'm confused and I need clarification.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about a little bit on Greg's Comic Cast, but it is worth bringing back up again because some of these costumes are interesting.
Yeah. So, Superman.
Yeah.
Going back to his early Action Comics days, t-shirt, blue jeans,
you
smarmy.
Know, what he looks like to me is Kon-El.
Yeah, I could see that.
Kon-El, Infinite Crisis era, Kon-El. But with a Max Fleischer Superman shirt instead of a black Superman shirt.
Yeah.
Buzz cut, blah, blah, blah.
And then there's Wonder Woman.
Who actually, I think, won the new costume raffle.
Yeah.
Really? I liked her outfit. The shoulder pads are weird, but everything else looks good.
Yeah.
She's drawn by people who grew up in the 80s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They have a new character, Robot Bunny Man.
No, that's Batman.
No, I'm looking at a picture of him right now. It's distinctly a giant mecha bunny.
Yeah, I know. That's Batman.
No.
That's what they're saying.
Usagi Yojimbo crosses over.
I'd be okay with that.
But no, I've seen pictures of him too. We have it on our website, dkpodcast.com. In one image, he's carrying a gun. But DC says that is the all-new Batman.
Okay.
Good thing you're done collecting Batman comics, huh?
Yeah, pretty much, because if that is the case, and this is truly the new standard from here on...
Anyone remember when Azrael was Batman? It's... Come on, there's a movie coming up.
I do.
There's a movie coming up. I don't think this is going to stick for very long.
However, that being said, if this really is the new standard for DC, there's a part of my anatomy, let's just call it my tuchus, that I will gladly bear for DC to kiss.
Man, I really wish I knew Yiddish.
I'll tell you about it during the break.
Okay. Because that ain't Batman.
No.
That's Robot Bunny Man with a gun.
It has gotten a lot of flack for being probably the most ridiculous of the post-convergence costumes.
There's an anime out there. It's called Appleseed or Appleseed Project. I forget exactly which.
Mm-hmm.
Decent anime.
Yeah.
One of the main characters looks like a giant robot bunny.
Okay.
This reminds me more of a giant robot bunny than this character did.
More than applesauce?
Appleseed, yes.
More than Applejack, got it.
Yes. Okay. So, I don't really know what else to say. It's a thing, apparently.
Yep.
It looks like I'm going to be spending a lot of my money on Marvel.
Well, I mean, other costume revamps. Green Lantern is now wearing a gauntlet, which he got in Green Lantern 40. It's supposed to be like a souped-up power ring that doesn't need a battery. But he's also wearing a hoodie, so...
So he's played by Stephen Amell.
You know what? I would be okay with that, because Stephen Amell has done a great job on Arrow.
You have failed this galaxy.
You have failed Sector 2814.
Yes.
But that's it for him. The Flash's costume looks like it got messed with the least. It basically just made it look closer to the television show's outfit, which, okay, that's fine. The TV show is good.
Yeah.
So, and then there's Green Arrow. Now, Green Arrow's new 52 outfit, not bad. Not bad. The goggles are a bit bug-eyed, but otherwise, good. You know, this. Where do I start without sounding like the fashion police?
You referenced a Marvel character from the 90s.
You remember when, actually, several Marvel characters from the 90s. You remember when everyone had pockets and pouches? Like, Cyclops had like 50 pouches. He had like a belt around his leg with nothing but pockets in it. And then pockets, like a sash, and then a pocket belt. That's what Green Arrow is now. He's all pockets. What do you do with all those? Is that where you keep the arrowheads? Where do you keep the arrows? Do you assemble the arrows? You take one out of like your hip pocket and...
What's it got to the pockets, precious?
Apparently a lot of crap. And, you know, it's conjecture. We haven't read the books yet. They could be fantastic. We don't know. jury's out on Batman, but the rest could be really good. And you know, coming
up, the jury get back on Batman
probably right around issue 42.
Okay,
because 41 is when all the new stuff happens.
It kind of looks like the Blue Beetle's backpack thing.
It does a little bit, yeah. It's got like a red light and a blue light. It's almost like, ooh, maybe he turns into a police car when he's chasing bad guys, you know? He's like a Transformer.
Actually, that'd be more like a Decepticon.
Mm. Yeah, that's right. Decepticons are...
Decepticons took the trusted... militaristic Ford.
Yeah, well,
vehicles.
Especially in the movies when Decepticons are all played by Fords. That's not subtle. You know, we'll talk more about Convergence in just a moment.
It's like for a moment he was accusing Michael Bay of the ability to be subtle.
That's why I said almost.
It's adorable.
That's why I said almost.
Drink your milkshake.
It brought several boys to the lawn for some reason. I don't know what that about. Anyway.
Sadly, it's my lawn, and Ness has got a lot of explaining to do for the
Make
neighbors.
Make milkshakes, they said. Boys will come to the yard, they said.
I'd teach, but I'd have to charge.
Well, since we're talking about Convergence,
mm-hmm.
let's just go ahead and bring in our guest. We're not quite done with comics, but let's just go ahead and bring in our guest.
Well,
why not?
This is a really, really big thing for us, so let's go ahead and bring in Jeff King, writer of Convergence.
Hey, thanks, Jared. Appreciate it. Any day I can talk about Convergence is a good one.
Well, anytime we get a chance to talk about comics at all is a good day. Okay, so tell our listeners a little bit about yourself, about your career, you know, where you're coming from.
Sure. My background is mostly in television. I started off working on shows like Stargate SG-1 and Continuum. And I think they kind of prepared me pretty well for the challenges of taking a big time-spanning event that covers, you know, 75 years of the DC Universe and dealing with all the worlds and all the responsibilities of the characters and the storytelling. You know, because when working on those shows, a big part of what you do is start with a huge characters and ideas and plots and stories and compress them down and focus them through the lens of a few characters whose needs you can really relate to and really embrace and hold on to.
Okay, so what kind of experience do you have? Have you written any comics before, or what else have you done?
Well, I'm glad you asked. This is my first comics work as a writer, but I've always been a fan. My experience with DC when I first came to this was really more the old Kirby books,
mm-hmm.
The Forever People and Demon and the Metal Men. I mean, obviously, I knew who Superman and Batman were and had, you know, experienced them through pop culture, but I didn't really know all of the stories and the rich tradition and the history. So for me, I kind of went back and started with, Flash of Two Worlds and Crisis on Infinite Earths and worked my way up through the stories from there and discovered, you know, the amazing Elseworlds stories like Red Sun Superman and Kingdom Come, which is one of my favorite Superman stories, Gotham by Gaslight. And then, you know, you get into Dan Jurgens, you get into Zero Hour, it was a real honor for me working with Dan and working with Ethan Van Sciver on the Zero, because Dan had killed Superman and he created a lot of the characters who share the stage with the characters from Earth-2 in Convergence.
Okay, so what sets the stage for Convergence? What can readers expect, you know, without giving away too much?
Spoiler time.
Yeah.
You know, there are a couple of things I think you can look to the Zero and see a big, epic confrontation between Brainiac and Superman. And Brainiac has been such a major villain in the DC Universe down through the ages, and he and Superman have squared off in so many different iterations. And when you get the Zero and crack it open, you'll see a beautiful panel by Ethan that's in the middle of it that basically shows the deaths of Superman all down through the ages. And those confrontations really kind of form the backbone of the Zero issue and set the stage for what's to come in the rest of the story as Brainiac and Superman square off in a test of wills.
Okay, so through April and May, you're going to be heading up the main 8 issues of Convergence, but there are going to be 40 different 2-part series as well, focusing on all these different characters. Has it been difficult to kind of keep everything, you know, keep everything together, keep everything straight, so to speak, while you worked on the main book?
You know, that's a great question too, Darren, because when I came to the project, a lot of the groundwork for the storytelling had been laid. I mean, I'm kind of standing on the shoulders of giants here. Dan Jurgens, Brian Azzarello, Scott Snyder, Scott Lobdell had all been working with editorial, with Dan DiDio and Marie Javens, to kind of lay the foundation for the storyline. And a lot of the 2-part monthly books had already been underway. And what I love about this event is the monthly books all tell their own self-contained stories. And some of them go back to address a moment in a character's past history that has never been explored but was kind of cut off either by a previous event like Crisis or by a change in continuity or change in canon to the character. So we're going to see, you know, we're going to see Nightwing and Oracle in a wedding. We're going to see the birth of Superman and Lois's baby. We're going to see Captain Kara fight Harley Quinn. We're going to see a great story that Dan Abnett is telling about the Golden Age, Flash, Green Lantern, Superman, Dr. Fate, kind of getting one last ride when the domes drop and they get their powers back after having been in basically retirement for a long time. So I think a fan can pick up those books and enjoy the story on its own merits. Eventually, everything ties back into what we're doing in the Spine book, and it spins it out at the end of Convergence into something that's going to fill in the gaps of Superman's missing hours that he experiences in Action Comics 35. It's going to tie up Superman Doomed, and it's going to tell you what planet is the question mark on Grant Morrison's Map of the Multiverse. So we had a lot of responsibilities in the Spine story to bring together all of those stories and all of those characters in one big finish, and I hope people are going to be as shocked and surprised and happy as we were to write it.
Okay, so now DC's not the only company that's got a big event going on. At actually roughly about the same time, Marvel has Secret Wars, and it's been said on our show a few times, and it's been said to me from some of our listeners and some of our fans, people seem to be just getting tired of event comics where, you know, everything is going to change until 6 months later when everything is going to change again. So what would you tell a fan who is kind of getting burnt out by event comics? Why should they pick up Convergence?
You know, it's for me, especially coming to it fresh, what Convergence is doing is really by the end of it, we're reestablishing that any story that has ever been in canon or any character that has ever been in continuity is going to be available to us as storytellers going forward. And the way in which they're going to be available is going to be addressed starting in June with the new books.
Mm-hmm.
I think that 3 things are going to happen in Convergence that are really going to be worth people's time. First off, I love the story, and it's, you know, some of it's mine, but I really appreciate some of the original creators being able to come back and tell the stories in their books, in some cases with their original artists, and the books themselves are beautiful. The art in my main Convergence story by Carlo Pagolan and Steven Segovia, who are the lead artists, is extraordinary, and, you know, the fun thing about this event is, and we all have this experience, I always look for a story where, you know, where it taps somehow into family. And I think we all have that as a comic, somebody's parent, somebody's child, somebody's brother, or somebody's sister. And so you know, I think what's fun about Convergence is it's kind of like getting invited to a big family reunion of an extended family you never knew you had. So so, you know, for these characters, it's kind of like what our experience would be if we were ripped out of something that's familiar and dropped into a world that's very unfamiliar. And I would say that the universe is going to change, but it's actually going to expand. I mean, this convergence is actually bringing everything together rather than shattering everything apart. And I think that's something that fans are hungry for.
Now, it's been said that after Convergence wraps up, DC will be entirely different. There's going to be a lot of new directions, and that really Convergence is going to be kind of charting the course of the entire DC universe. So, no pressure, right?
No pressure.
Yeah.
I will say that some of what I've seen, I was at the DC Talent Summit where editorial and creators were talking about and, debuting their books for the first time. And I think, look at what's going on over in the Bat books, with what they're doing with Gotham Academy and, Bav Starr's drawing for Batgirl and then, Scott Snyder and James Tynion in Batman and in Eternal. I mean, as shocking and as controversial as some of it is, it's all really fantastic storytelling. And then the Dark Side War is going to start, and that is going to open up the door to a lot of really amazing books. Some of my favorites for June that are coming out are some of the boldest and riskiest. Like, I'm really looking forward to Bizarro.
Yeah.
Of course, I think that's going to be a fun book. I'm looking forward to Rhea Robin. Those Kiri Robinson solicits the art. Just looks amazing.
Right.
There's the Walker Cyborg book I'm really looking forward to coming out. And then there's what Jeff Johns is orchestrating with the Justice League. So, I feel like what I've been able to do as part of writing this event is to really kind of get a picture of how excited everybody is to both be using the tradition and the canon of all the characters, but kind of break new ground in some of the storytelling.
Now, you seem to have the attitude of almost like a kid in a toy store. Every character in DC's history can kind of be your plaything in this story. As you mentioned, they're all going to be coming together. What was your favorite character to work with?
I have come to love them all, and that's not a cop-out. It's just the truth, and that's part of what happens when you write them. But I think for me, one of the things when I was originally told the story by Dan and Marie and opportunity to come on board it was the opportunity for Bruce Wayne and Thomas Wayne to meet for the first time. And to basically have a father and son moment between the two of them, and to have other characters from their lives connected to them, for me, was pretty special. And so I would say that in some ways, writing that from the perspective of Dick Grayson from Earth 2 has been the most fun to date, but it's enormous. The scope is epic, and the most fun for me has been balancing the enormous story with the intimate moments of character that are so important. And if you look at the Convergence number one cover solicit that has the great cover by Ivan Rice and Joe Prado, you'll see the six characters who are kind of the backbone of my story from Earth 2, and who eventually, ultimately, I don't think this is a spoiler, or if it is, forgive me, but, are ultimately going to crash into all of their other iterations and counterparts from down through the ages of the DCU.
Well, Jeff, we appreciate you taking some time with us. We wish you all the best of luck. And Convergence starts today. Issue 0 is in your comic book store right now. Today, of course, today being the day this episode went online, which is April 1st, 2015. Jeff, again, thank you so much.
Thanks so much, Darren.
All right. We want to thank DC Comics for helping us arrange that. And
they obviously don't listen.
Convergence is out today. First issue is out today. Well, today if you're listening on April 1st.
Maybe it's not actually Batman. Maybe it's Captain Carrot.
But
see, I could actually get behind that.
Well, we got to wait until Convergence is over. That's a couple month period. So run out, get issue one of Convergence. We're going to do the same. We'll let you know what we think at deepcavepodcast.com.
Marvel.
Oh, you know, and this was something we asked Jeff a few minutes ago, is that are we suffering from event fatigue? Because both Convergence and Secret Wars seem to be happening right about the same time. But Marvel has unveiled a trump card, so to speak, for what happens after Secret Wars is over. Because, you know, there's been talk they're going to merge the Ultimate Universe with the normal Marvel Universe. And what will that mean? Well, we do know
normality.
Well, we do know one thing. Miles Morales will be in the mainstream Marvel Universe.
Woot.
We have the cover of the first issue of All New, All Different Avengers, which, by the way, will be free on Free Comic Book Day, first Saturday of May. And it features Sam Wilson as Captain America and Iron Man. We're still not sure if that's Pepper Potts or Tony Stark in the suit.
Mm.
The female Thor, who has been kicking all kinds of ass in sales. Her sales are actually much, much better than male Thors ever were. So
by like 30%.
By like 30%. That's really good.
Yeah.
So congratulations to Marvel on that. Vision, who has a new Green Lantern-y / Red Tornado-y look. Nova, the teenage version that you may know from the Ultimate Spider-Man TV show. Ms. Marvel.
Mm-hmm.
And Miles Morales, front and center as the Ultimate Spider-Man. Now, we don't know if he'll be called Spider-Man, Spider-Teen, if he'll be taking Peter's place. There's a book coming called Ultimate End Number 4. The cover has been leaked, and it's Miles Morales standing over the bodies of all of the normal Marvel Universe characters, including Spider-Man's. But we know that a cover could mean absolutely jack diddly squat when it comes to the book.
It's just to boost sales.
Yeah, it's just to boost sales, but it's a really cool look anyway, so you should check out Ultimate End Number 4.
The first, you open up the cover, first page is Peter looking up at Miles. Dude, you're on my shoulder. Get off.
Dude. No, chill, I got this. I mean, we know Spider-Man 2 is coming.
Yes.
As a book. So that would tell us that Peter will probably be okay. At the very least, maybe Peter retires and passes his mantle to Miles. It's not like it hasn't been done before. Hey, 90s, welcome back. But, you know, it's a thing that is currently going on. But, you know, I've heard nothing but positives, with only one exception, and that is that some people think that the Falcon wings still look dumb on the Captain America suit. But Sam Wilson's Captain America has been a more vicious one. Something that fans have been really interested in reading about. So, you know, I get it. I mean, you know, kind of like an eagle, like the American bird. So, you know, it looks fine.
America, away! Yeah. So, also speaking of Marvel, who is your favorite Marvel character that is not Wolverine?
X-23.
Ooh, X-23 is...
So it had to be said.
Good one. All right, I admit that.
I would actually say it's a toss-up between Peter Parker, Spider-Man, not Peter Poctopus, but Peter Parker, Spider-Man, or the all-new X-Men version of Cyclops.
Actually, and I would say mine is Kamala Khan right now.
Ms. Marvel, yeah.
Well, you're all wrong. It's Deadpool.
Ah, yeah, there's that.
I'm just never wrong. Okay, there was that one time last month I was wrong, and
I don't remember that.
We had to change the sign.
Oh.
Yeah. So, Deadpool.
Okay.
Yeah. So, in April, Deadpool number 45 hits. But in reality...
Like a truck.
If you take into account every single Deadpool issue that's ever been released from everything that's happened, it's actually issue number 250.
Ah.
And so they're celebrating.
How so?
They're killing off Deadpool.
That's what you do.
Yeah, he's dying.
Mm.
The end comes for us all, and Deadpool's comes after 250 issues.
I understand. It happens. Yeah.
And it's a colossal, giant-size series finale. Deadpool is going to die.
The last page is actually a pop-up. And it's he doesn't die, it's just he leaps out of the comic books and into real life.
Oh, that'd be fun.
One of the covers is a play on the death of Wolverine. It's Wade without his costume being carried by the Grim Reaper. He's holding an Uzi and says, "Aw, quit grinning. It's cold out here."
Yeah, I like it.
So, you know, with the fact that next year sometime there's going to be a Deadpool movie, a legitimate Deadpool movie.
And it might actually be good.
I'm assuming this is something that's not going to last too horribly long.
No, it's kind of like the death of Wolverine. Everyone knows that it's a temporary thing at best.
Yeah.
Heck, for all we know, Secret Wars might lead to Old Man Logan showing up in the normal continuity or whatever. So
I hope so, just to have him look at the what is now the Wolverine statue going, huh.
And then he lights a match on it and smokes a cigarette or something like that.
Rube.
Rookie. So Deadpool 45 or Deadpool 250 hits stores April. It's the death of Deadpool. Sad Bunny. Not DC Sad Bunny, which is apparently Batman. But
Robo Bunny.
Robo that's Bunny, good. Yeah. So look for that.
Okay.
That's all I got for comics. Darren, you got anything else?
No, not other than what we had. So Chad?
Yeah, Donatello's dead, and I'm really upset about this.
Yeah, spoiler alert, but it's been 3 weeks, so don't worry about it.
Yeah, I was trying not to talk about it because I knew it would upset you, but you brought it up. So
I bring it up, and I said it unduly upsets me.
Oh, okay.
It is a fictional character in a fictional universe.
Yeah.
In a series that I neither read nor intend to read.
Which in is a sad character because it
that
is good.
In a character that is so far removed from the character that I dearly love that they could be said to be different characters altogether.
Right.
And every time I think about it, I get really upset. And this Donatello, man.
Yeah, I know. And the method of death is what got me.
Very gruesome.
Very gruesome. Killed by Bebop and Rocksteady.
Jerks.
With a hammer.
With a sledgehammer. He went full Triple H on him, you know? It's just Bebop and Rocksteady? Bebop and Rocksteady.
Well,
Bebop and Rocksteady.
They are very strong.
They are very strong. They're also very stupid.
What gets me, though, is it was Donatello and Metalhead, and the two of them together.
Yeah. Well, I mean, IDW has done a great job of reinventing the franchise. And
yeah, it's a really good series.
Making it...
I don't doubt that.
Yeah,
I'm
not necessarily telling you. I'm just making a statement to the listeners.
I've got X amount of money for comics. And
well,
I'm
so do I. That's why
I'm
all
on Batman 66 right now.
Also a good series.
Yeah.
I'm spending mine on the Unbeatable Squirrel Girl.
Nice.
Spider-Gwen.
So, anyway, there is that. The other one is... The surprise movie of 2013 for me was Pacific Rim.
2013. Okay, yes.
It was a good movie. Yep.
It was a surprising movie.
It was fun.
It decided to do something that we had previously only really seen in anime or in Power Rangers episodes.
Yeah.
And give it a full-on big budget treatment. And it was decent.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they're getting a sequel, but if 2017 is too far away, Legendary Comics is going to publish Pacific Rim Tales from the Rift, which is a follow-up to a previous comic series that they had done. But
Tales from the Crypt.
No. I don't... It was like the Kaiju of Zero Hour or something.
It was
weird.
A joke.
Lady Kaiju's Tales.
But anyway, so Pacific Rim Comics.
Lady Kaiju's lover.
Yeah.
If you like the movie enough that you absolutely have to absorb everything there is.
I liked the movie. I don't know if I liked it enough to pick up a comic on it, but
I will not probably pick up the comic, but
I'll probably go see the sequel.
It's worth knowing that something like that exists.
Sure, yeah.
And
well, and you know, I mean, there's literally something out there for everyone. Anyone who says that, you know, I don't read comics, there's nothing out there for me, you're not looking hard enough.
I gotta say, we have discovered comics that are certainly not for us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we found comics that are certainly well in our wheelhouse of interests.
Well, and you know, I mean, we've just going by our guests, we've had you know, the author of Princeless, which is a fantastic take on princesses, you know, sisters got to do it for herself, so to speak. And our friends at 01 Publishing with World War Kaiju. I mean, that kind of thing. So, you know, it just sounds like another opportunity to put those books in front of some faces. And I'm all for that.
So, good deal, huh?
Yeah. Yep.
That's all I had was those two things.
Okay.
All right.
That's it for comics.
We'll take... It's okay, man. We got you.
We'll pour one out for our purple-masked homie later.
We'll take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk gaming and why the biggest game of 2015 is not coming out in 2015. More Geek Cave to come.
Take you for a ride. I'm in the most of China. Tell me where in the world is.
I'm in San Diego.
Oh, hey, Bob.
Hey, Dave. Buzz time at the bar?
Ooh, buzz time at the bar.
Get out of the house. See why thousands play Buzz Time Poker each week at their favorite bar. To find a location near you, go to buzztime.com.
The Geek Cave Podcast, brought to you by Buzz Time. Great minds drink alike.
Warning, listening to The Geek Cave can increase your knowledge in awesome stuff. And the ladies love awesome stuff. Or so I'm told.
And welcome back to the Geek Cave Podcast. I'm Darren.
Wait, you said the greatest game of 2015 might not be released this year?
Yeah.
The Tookus is a what?
So Duke Nukem Infinity has been delayed again?
I'm sorry to say that yes. Duke Nukem Infinity has been delayed again by a severe case of never happening.
That's what they said about Duke Nukem Forever, but we still got it.
True, but did we want it? At that point,
I didn't say we wanted it.
Yeah, well, I'm talking about a game people actually looking forward to.
Oh, yeah. Pong 2.
Conquer.
Conquer is coming.
But not this year.
Oh, actually, yes, this year, to Project Spark.
So this isn't the game you were talking about?
Not the game, because he's going to be a part of Project. Let's actually get into the gaming segment.
By the way, I'm Justin, he's Chad.
Instead of just piecemealing our way through.
He says, pointing to me.
Yes. Theater of the mind, folks, theater of the mind.
Radio. All right. You may have heard.
Welcome to radio, where we don't wear pants, but you don't know that.
Unless we tell you.
Or do we? See, now there's mystery.
Embrace the mystery, Darren. Embrace the mystery.
Conker's back on April 23rd.
Are you sure it won't be April 1st?
Because no.
That just sounds exactly like Conker.
No, yeah. April 23rd, according to Post.
New Toe Jam and Earl game, too.
Yeah.
Ooh.
That has met, what is it, at its goal on Kickstarter? Has it met it?
Yeah.
Something
I
like
think
that.
So.
But, you know, a lot of people were excited by the Project Spark trailer because it showed off Conker from Conker's Bad Fur Day. And everyone's like, yes, finally. It's been forever. This will be downloadable content for Project Spark. So get out that wallet. Mm. Starts April 23rd, my bad. Conker's Big Reunion Episode 1 takes place 10 years after the events of Conker's Bad Fur Day, which was without a doubt one of the funniest and most profane games ever released for the Nintendo 64.
Originally supposed to be a kid's game.
It was.
And then they said, you know what?
Nah. Well, they're like, this is too similar to Banjo-Kazooie, so they're like, let's just put some swear words in it. And
boobs on flowers.
And let's make a monster entirely made out of poop, and let's turn that into a musical boss fight.
Because why not?
It was glorious. Yeah. It really was. It was an eye-opening thing. So, Conker's back...
That's when Darren became a man.
As if I've ever become a man. Moving on. April has... you know, a nice little bonus for Xbox users. No, it's not because your consoles are still working. Although, being an Xbox One owner myself,
Bazinga.
Being an Xbox One owner myself, I should knock on wood. No.
I haven't turned mine on in like a month and a half.
Well, maybe if you buy it dinner mine. Once or something. Tell it it's pretty.
Well, my
Xbox on Xbox pretty.
Xbox does not have a Kinect.
Daisy.
But you know how PlayStation Plus has like free games every month, and so does Microsoft with their games with gold. Well, they're actually doubling how many come out this month with for the games with gold. Again, 360 users kind of win. They get 4 free games this month, including the latest Gears of War, Gears of War Judgment, Terraria, which, you know, Chad knows all about.
I do like Terraria.
Assassin's Creed 4 Black Flag, and Army of Two Devil's Cartel. So, basically 3 AAA games and Terraria, which is, you know, good enough to be a AAA title. On the Xbox One, you're getting a pool game.
Yay, billiards.
And Child of Light.
Or wait. Polo.
No, pool, just billiards.
Billiards.
Well,
yeah, billiards.
You say pool game, it's
sorry,
like...
Sorry, billiards.
Like the old trackpad on the Nintendo, you had to, you know, run run to make your guy swim. And
it's Marco Polo.
You have to have the Kinect attached.
Yeah.
But you can leave the room.
But no, Pool Nation FX and Ubisoft's Child of Light, which is an RPG a lot of people loved. It's a beautiful art with it. Because if there's one thing Ubisoft does do well, it's hand-drawn stuff like Rayman Legends and, mm-hmm. and Child of Light. So those games free for the entire month of April. And of course, for Xbox users, if you have a 360, the games you download are free permanently, even if your gold subscription lapses. Not so for the Xbox One users, because screw you. The Witcher 3 is going to
now,
have...
Go
ahead.
Xbox One is their current gen console,
yes,
correct?
Yes, yes.
It's the one that they're trying to tout the most.
Yes.
Eventually they will stop making stuff for the 360.
Presumably.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm done. I'm just clarifying. Continue.
Yeah. The Witcher 3.
Oh, Microsoft.
The Witcher 3 is one of the bigger current gen or next gen, however you want to look at it, titles coming out this year. And, you know, guys, this is it. This is how to know that we've reached the next pinnacle of technology. The Witcher 3 will have dynamic beard growth.
And I finally have a reason to play a Witcher game.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Because, well, it... The combat reminds me of Kingdoms of Amalur slightly.
Ooh.
So I think you might be interested.
I might.
But
I do like Kingdoms of Amalur.
I just realized you shaved your beard.
I've only been here for like 28 hours.
And I've only gotten like 3 hours sleep. So, you know.
It's Amalur-ish, but with boobs.
Hmm.
Because there are some sex scenes in the Witcher series. So there you go.
Okay.
For those of you who love Chad's beard, he still has the goatee. So fear not. He's not clean shaven.
Yeah. But the character's facial hair will have a variety of beard states that will be triggered over time. You can also download DLC to keep it from changing. But why would you do that? Why wouldn't you just want to see it become full and
rich?
Is it
like Goku? For every level he grows, the beard grows. So when he's like,
I don't know, it'd be great. But
I would so want to reach wizard status. Down to my belly button.
They say the longest is really long, but not Gandalf long.
That's too bad.
Yeah.
Because that would be awesome.
That's long enough.
That's the dream.
That's the dream.
Yeah. Well, May 19th for PC, PS4, and Xbox One. So if you're interested. And hey, if you want a reason to turn on your Xbox One, maybe you get Witcher 3.
Well, that's where I would probably.
Because it'll be a single player game. So then you can experience the beard growth and all of its magnanimous glory. Now, when I mention... you know, one of the biggest game of 2015 for a lot of people, even if you're not a Nintendo fan, the Legend of Zelda series has a lot of weight, you know, and whenever Nintendo releases a new Zelda title, everyone kind of takes notice. Remember at last year's Game Awards, they showed off the new Zelda open world title, beautiful art, all this stuff. And they promised by the end of 2015, this was going to be in your hands. Sorry about that.
Which 2015?
The one we're in right now.
I was going to say there's another one coming in like 10,000 years.
That's true. But
got a point.
But no, the Zelda for Wii U, which still hasn't gotten an official title, has been delayed outside of 2015. The
Zelda Wii U, a reason to buy a Wii U.
Did we mention that we're working on a new Nintendo console? The Nintendo NX for next, or as we here at the Geek Cave have taken to calling it, the Wii U-er.
Wii U-er.
The Wii U-er. Or maybe they'll call it the Wii U-Y. Something stupid. That much we know for sure. Maybe just the new,
Wii V.
The new Wii U. Ooh, they did that with a 3DS. The new 3DS. It'll be the new Wii U.
Wii U XL.
See, okay. It'll be the Wii U. There's Wii U. Mm-hmm. This one will be Wii U and the ampersand. And then the next one will be
Dupree.
Wii. No.
Out of left field there.
No. Wii U.
And?
No. Wii U, comma. Uh-huh. Wii U, comma, me. Wii U, comma, me and Dupree.
There you go. But anyway,
it's a long joke, hey, folks.
That's going to come back around during the movie segment. Okay. Just letting you know.
So anyway, Eiji Inuma, he's the producer for the Zelda series, says that as we've worked on the game, we keep coming up with new possibilities, and rather than just work with meeting a specific schedule and only releasing a game that reflects what we can get done, we are going to work on the game until it is the best game it can possibly be.
So you mean they're going to delay it so that it's good?
Yeah, pretty much. They're going to work on it until it's done.
You know, that's kind of scary when you think about it, because as long as they keep coming up with good ideas, that means that the game could never be done.
Or it could be a ridiculously large game.
Which, would they even be able to fit all that on a disc?
Maybe it'll be a download.
Yeah, about that.
Yeah, the Wii U storage is a bit cramped.
I'm gonna say I've noticed that after three games, my PS4 is starting to.
Wow, you download big games.
Games when they got 50 gig.
Hey, gamers got a game.
Gamers got a game.
I mean, you look at it as like, wow, I'm.
Yeah.
You have 500 gigs to start with, and it takes up 100 just for the program.
Right, right.
So you get a little over 400, and then you three games using up 150. Oh, yeah. Geez.
I mean, I'm disappointed because it was a big bullet in their chamber. But on the other hand, if the delay is for the best, because we all agree.
Well, maybe what they need is a bigger gun.
Maybe like they need a bigger gun.
The Wii Uer. Have you ever tried to put a bullet too big for a gun into a gun? It's dangerous.
Yeah, I know.
The Wii Uzi.
What was it? The Wii U, comma...
The Wii U, me, and Dupree.
Yes. All right, I've got to stick around for that one, and you should too. But more developers should do that. More developers should look at their unreleased titles, think, you know what? This is shite. And then... wait until it is not shite to release it.
It's a novel idea, making something good before you release it.
Yeah.
Who knew?
Yeah.
I'm going to laugh my tail end off if it gets to us and everybody says, this is so bloated and overdone and unnecessary.
Oh, I will be first in line to do that because the Zelda franchise is my favorite, and if it's done wrong, I will pitch a fit.
I'm going to laugh my tuchus off if it glitches out in the start menu.
I can't see a Nintendo title doing that, but yeah, that would be kind of funny.
I can't either, but stranger things have happened.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Sega at one point made good games.
Oh, wait, that's serious.
Yeah, that was serious.
Oh.
Anyway.
Had to think of Donatello.
You were telling me before the show that Bloodborne sounds like it's doing well.
Bloodborne is doing well. It's... Every single review I've read, everything I've heard about it says that this is a very good, almost one a new gotta have it for the PS4.
So the first one since Second Son, then?
Maybe.
Mm.
Lego Batman 3 came out.
That was good. Exclusive.
Oh, that came out for the PS3 too, didn't it?
And the Wii U, and literally everything.
Okay, yeah.
Because Batman's awesome.
And also they love money.
Who doesn't?
Who doesn't? Nope, I'm not going to talk about that.
No.
So, all right. So, Bloodborne, really good game. A lot of people are saying that it's very difficult, but it's fair. and it's absolutely worth playing, has this itsy bitsy tiny bug in it, and I don't mean an insect like the honey badger, you know, thing from Far Cry. Was that Far Cry 4 that had the honey badger?
Oh, that wasn't a bug. That was a feature.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's amazing.
They were impossible to kill on purpose.
Nice. Okay. This is
just like in real life.
Just like in real life.
This is not on purpose.
C4.
There's a key that doesn't drop.
That just makes it angrier.
There's a key that doesn't appear, which makes progress pretty much impossible. But I imagine it's going to be fixed soon because this is a super big deal game for the PS4. One of their newest and first gotta haves in a while.
Yeah, after The Order kind of failed, they desperately need a win.
And so getting this one right, super important.
Yeah.
And From Software has really done, I think it's From Software doing it, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They have gone out of their way to try to create the best possible games they have that work. They have smaller budgets. They expect fewer people to buy them because of their difficulty curve. Well, their difficulty level. I can't even
call there's
it
no curve.
Curve.
It's just it, die.
You know, and so they want to get it fixed now.
Yeah.
And probably within, by the time you hear this, it will be fixed.
Here's hoping.
So.
Here, here.
That's my gaming thing. Although I hear next month we're going to have a lot of gaming stuff to do.
Oh, good Lord. There will be gaming to our eyeballs. Maybe even more.
I can say, and I'm the shortest among you, so if it's gaming to your eyeballs, have a snorkel.
You're going to need a gaming snorkel. Because
you should have a snorkel. I think I bought you one a while back.
Probably.
It was pink.
No. Nice. Hot pink or just like a salmon?
No, it was pink.
Like princess pink.
Like pink.
Oh, princess pink.
Pink.
It was pink.
Anyway, we're getting off topic.
So do tell, what is all this gaming up to your eyeballs and up past my hairline going to
be?
And since my hairline is rapidly, rapidly going up, this is nuts.
You remember in years past, we've helped out our friends at Shirtosaurus and our friend Michelle Quillen with
Michelle.
Yeah. Sup, Meech? With the annual Extra Life campaign, you know.
Yes. Yes.
No. With the annual 24-hour gaming marathon, you raise money for Children's Miracle Network. Well, this year we decided, you know what? We should do it too. Why let them have all the fun? So, coming up April 17th and 18th, we are going to need your help to raise cash. We're raising money for Cardinal Glennon Children's Hospital in St. Louis, Missouri. We're going to be doing our Extra Life marathon a little early because I usually do it in October.
More like a lot early.
A lot early. But that's by design. That way we're not getting in anyone else's way. You just got your tax return. You're looking for something to do with the money. And
October is busy for us.
October's very busy for us.
It's my birthday.
It's Justin's birthday. It's practically a holiday around here.
It is.
You should see the way he decorates the cave. He decorates for his own birthday. I know, it's weird. But
it's awesome.
But anyway, we're going to be doing a big gaming marathon.
This year I've actually put fireworks in the pinatas.
Nice. We've teamed up with Jen Kibble from the Geek Nexus. And basically, she's posted the whole schedule. You can go to thegeeknexus.com and find out there. But geektavepodcast.com, we have the article up where you can click to donate. Click to find out the full schedule. We're going to start gaming on the 17th, and we'll quit whenever. We might go more than 24 hours. It really depends.
I'm so excited. I might start early.
Yeah, Chad might even start early because, you know, nothing against, you know, Michelle and Shirtosaurus, but they do a measly 24 hours, and we think we can do better. We think we can do more.
25, here we come, baby.
26, 27, maybe even 30. Who knows? That's why you want to follow us on Twitter, at Geek Cave Podcast. And right now, here's the schedule before I tell you about the prizes. That's right. There are prizes if you want to help us out.
Mm-hmm.
Chad will kick us off with Kingdoms of Amalur, but that is at the official start time at 8 p.m. Chad might start earlier on the 17th.
I'm going to see if I can't finish Ratchet & Clank Quest for Booty.
Nice.
Before the start time.
Nice. So you're going to want to...
This is a warm-up.
You're going to want to check us out on social media for that. Justin is going to be taking part in the Midnight to 2 shift on the 18th with Batman Arkham Asylum.
In full Batman gear.
Nice. And probably
there will be pictures.
And any other Batman thing we can throw at him, probably. If he gets tired of Arkham Asylum, we'll find another Bat game.
I'll probably be tweeting as Batman throughout the night.
That would be great. I'm going to be...
Be ready for all caps and exclamation points.
I'm
the hero this charity needs, but not the one it deserves.
I'm going to be having...
Stop giggling. You're the Batman.
I'm going to be having...
Batman doesn't giggle.
I'm going to be having an adventure in hair, gore, and LSD when I play Final Fantasy XV, Mortal Kombat X, and Sonic Colors, probably in that order. So, you know, fantastic hair bro trip meets... Oh, my God. Meets pretty, and then Liz, funnily,
I can see him bleeding and doing LSD, but the hair thing is a little.
Liz is going to be taking over from 6 a.m. to 7:30 a.m. on the 18th. What, we don't know what game she's playing.
My guess is she's going to stay in bed with her 3DS and play Fantasy Life.
I hope there are photos.
All you're going to see is like just this glowing screen and blonde hair.
What's really funny is when Liz, by the way, Liz is Chad's wife, for those of you not knowing, she wears big feety pajamas and puts her hair in pigtails and sleeps with a teddy bear. It's really awkward for Chad, from what I hear.
Quite.
Lori will be taking over after that for some Super Mario 3D World and Tetris. We asked if she was going to stream it, and she said, no, it's a Wii U. So there's that. Greg will be
even your wife gets in on it.
Greg will be streaming from 9 a.m. to noon on the 18th, Dragon Ball Xenoverse. So if you've ever been interested about this game, Greg, you can follow him at the Indie Geek, and of course find him on the Geek Cave Comic Cast. And then Jen from the Geek Nexus, 12 to 4, D&D. She's rolling tabletop.
Hey, we're doing so too.
We are going to do it at the same time. And also some Killer Instinct on the Xbox One. And then Rachel will take over from 4 to 5. She's also going to be doing some tabletop from 5 to 7. Mel, who's done some graphic design for us and is Justin's wife, will be playing Lego the Hobbit or whatever else she can get her hands on.
Yeah.
Depends on if she gets bored with Lego the Hobbit. And then we are going to wrap up the official timeline with Beatles Rock Band.
Better make sure my instruments still work.
You better. Otherwise, it's going to be really awkward. Or really awesome.
No, see, I'll just grab my actual guitar.
See, he's become those people. You know what I'm talking about?
He's become one of those people.
Those people. Where you've seen the XKCD comic where everyone's playing Rock Band and having a good time, and then there's the douchebag behind him. Hey, you could learn to play a real guitar. Guys, stop having fun and listen to me. That's you right now.
No, I don't go for the guys. Guys, stop having fun. I just turn my amplifier up.
So you just ruin it for everybody without saying stop having fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm that guy.
They ever create trombone hero, I'll do the same.
I want sousaphone hero.
Will would kick your ass.
I'm sure he would.
He was a sousaphone player.
TheGeekNexus.com.
I thought you meant literally kick, like physically. Physically do me bodily harm.
He might if you suggest that he play a sousaphone.
You can find more details at facebook.com/GeekCave or the Geek Nexus.
Listen.
At thegeeknexus.com.
You son of a bitch.
I don't even think he knows what a podcast is.
You son of a bitch.
Anyway.
Watch, this will be the first one.
Yeah.
I'm going to give this a try.
Okay.
You know, Chad's been saying all along that this is a lot of fun and he likes doing it.
Suddenly there's this 12-foot ginger at my door with a gun.
He won't shoot you.
That's true, he won't.
It would be over too quickly.
It would.
But if you would like to help sick kids.
Or injured Justin's.
I don't know if Cardinal Glennon would serve him. TheDeepNexus.com is where you can find the details. And they've got a link to our donation page as well.
Yes, in all seriousness, Cardinal Glennon has helped my son in the past. He's had some health issues. Nothing horribly serious. I mean, this is not... He's not one of the kids that... You know, we're doing this for.
Yeah.
But
my sister passed away a few years back from cancer, and Cardinal Glennon was really good to her, extended her life by God knows how many months. So obviously.
Yeah, Cardinal Glennon and all the other children's hospitals out there, you know, they do a wonderful job.
You don't get to be part of this network by being crap.
Right. No. And this is our way of giving back to not just the hospitals, but the kids in the hospitals.
And if you want to donate, you can. But also, there's a little incentive for you to donate.
Oh.
You will be entered into a prize raffle. We have had...
Can I win?
No, Deep Cave staff are not eligible.
No.
But you can win some fantastic prizes donated by some very, very generous sponsors, including yes. Warner Brothers. Second season of Arrow.
That's the one I wanted to win.
The Hobbit, The Desolation of Smaug.
I didn't care. Wait.
Smaug or Smaug?
The Hobbit Dose.
Ah, okay.
Justice League, Throne of Atlantis. You'd win
Desolation.
That. Yeah. You can win volume.
Desalinization.
Desalinization of Smaug.
The unsaltiness.
Thanks to IDW, you can win volume one of their My Little Pony Friendship is Magic.
Ooh.
They sent us a graphic novel. Nintendo sent us a code for Earthbound, a digital copy of Earthbound, the iconic SNES RPG you can play on the Wii U. And
only able to be downloaded on the SNES. Don't let him fool you.
And they sent us a Sonic the Hedgehog amiibo that you can win as well. These are these collectible little statues.
Nintendo sent us a Sonic?
Yeah. It is 2015.
I'm about to break my brain.
Don't we need that beautiful brain of yours for the movie segment, marathon and the movie segment.
So that's all I got.
You still got work to do.
Again, geekcavepodcast.com. Find us on Facebook or go to thegeeknexus.com. They are a sister site that deals with basically gaming stuff that kind of falls through our cracks. So feel shut up. Shut up.
Theater of the mind, right?
Please give. And join us April 17th and 18th. So later this month. Join us later this month. We'd love to have you follow us on social media. And even if you just send us a word of encouragement, we'd love that. We'd love your donations even more. None of the money's going to us, obviously.
No.
We'd love it if you guys were to support us. And in fact, we'll keep the donation page up all the way through the campaign, which ends in October. But if you can donate during the marathon, that'll keep us going.
Yeah.
And
we'll put up a full list of anybody's Twitter accounts who are participating, who want their, you know, mine will go up.
Yeah.
Mine will.
Yeah. Just if you don't already know it. That way you know exactly who to follow.
You can find it at the Geek Nexus right now.
Yes.
They've got the whole list there. Geeknexus.com. Thegeeknexus.com. That's all I got for gaming, guys.
That's it.
All right. I'm good.
Can you top that?
You can't, really.
Movies.
Movies, yeah.
Well, that's a whole new segment, though.
Oh,
okay, yeah.
Bonus behind-the-scenes note is we'll be taping our next episode of the podcast during the gaming marathon.
Yeah.
You're not going to want to miss the chicanery that'll be unfolding during that.
Yeah, I
we might actually have girls.
I fully expect the two of us who aren't gaming to be complete dicks to the one.
Yeah,
who is.
I mean that will probably be we'll probably just pick an hour and just tool around with someone, and then do another hour where we're tooling around with someone else.
Yeah.
Are you guys sure you don't want to just play ET for 24 hours?
I will do that if someone promises $1,000. That is an open challenge.
There is your challenge.
That is an open challenge.
I still have Rachel Grady's Atari sitting right there on the floor.
And if you've seen the video, you know I came close to beating it. So,
But even if you do beat it within the 24
hours, I have to play more.
You have to keep playing it.
Hey, if someone donates $1,000, I will gladly play for 24 straight hours. I will play ET. That is a promise.
Nice.
All right.
So
please, someone out there say challenge accepted and donate.
Make it happen, Internet. Make it happen. We'll take a quick...
And put your name on it.
Yeah, you put your name on it. You might win a prize. Yeah, you may as well. I mean, $1,000, you'll probably be guaranteed to get something. I'll autograph it. So
that's going to double in value someday.
And then he'll lick it.
And then it'll triple in value. You can clone me. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, it's the movie segment. More Deep Cave to come. Hey, it's Darren from the Deep Cave Podcast for Shirtosaurus.com. You know why we love Shirtosaurus? Because they do so much for their fans. Right now at Shirtosaurus.com, there are giveaways, free shipping offers, and some of the hottest and most creative designs in geek culture available on t-shirts, sweatshirts, blankets, and more. Do yourself a favor and hit up Shirtosaurus.com right now and get shopping.
The Geek Cave Podcast, brought to you by Shirtosaurus.com. We dig up clothing from your past so you can look rad today. The Geek Cave, for when you need to kill a lot of time in the bathroom but don't have a magazine.
And welcome back to the Geek Cave Podcast. I'm Darren.
I'm Justin.
I'm Chad.
And it's the movie segment.
Movies. All right, so...
All right, so what's up with the talkies?
I think they're just a fad. Mm. I mean, who really wants to pay to hear actors talk?
I know, right? That's so weird.
Yeah. Turns out when they open their mouths, they sound like donkeys.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give a...
Cool, huh?
It was the best performance of that donkey's life.
Hmm.
Anyway.
So it's been a really long time coming, but thanks to the magical device known as the internet, Super Troopers 2 is going to be made.
Yes.
March 25th, Broken Lizard released an Indiegogo with a goal of $2 million.
I can't even handle it, right, meow?
And in the time since, the funding has been raised. It actually was raised in less than 24 hours. So, hooray for crowdfunding.
No shenanigans.
Now, on the bright side, that means that there's no studio interference with any of this. Mm-hmm. The only way the studio can interfere at this point is if nobody decides to put it on in theaters.
Nobody publishes, yeah.
Yeah.
So, but I mean, this might lead to a better movie if they don't have to necessarily kowtow to any political machinations within the studio system.
True.
So, I'm a fan of Ian McKellen. Justin?
I love the Magnificent Bastard.
I am a fan.
I really love the idea of him playing Sherlock Holmes. Now, this is not a joke. This is actually a thing that's happening, a movie called Mr. Holmes. There's now a teaser trailer. We'll have it on the site by the time you're hearing this. So once you get to where you're going, because I'm assuming most of you are probably listening to this in your vehicle, you know, go to geekcavepodcast.com.
Hands on the wheel.
You know, and look it up.
10-2.
Yes, it's just a teaser.
11-1 even.
You know, I don't... So we don't really have any actual information about what it is, other than this is supposedly the last case of Sherlock Holmes as a very old man. You know, he's a bit dulled, but he's not out of the game.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it's one of those cases where on his not best day, he's still better than everyone else.
This is true.
So.
Yeah, he's retired. He's living on an island with his bees. He's a beekeeper.
I can dig that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then... Justin's spouse would never visit me.
No.
She doesn't do bees.
No.
So, so check it out. It's certainly a take on Sherlock Holmes that we've not seen a movie treatment of yet.
This
There's
is
been
true.
some books, some short stories that have dealt with that part of Sherlock's life, but not movies. So, and Ian McKellen. I mean, come on.
It's Ian McKellen.
Yeah.
We really shouldn't even say anything else.
So, on to something else. Guys, I really like watching boxing movies.
Okay.
I like boxing.
Foxy boxing?
If that's what it takes. But the thing, I like the sport of boxing. I enjoy watching it.
Pugilism.
It is the sweet science. Mm.
Very much so. I liked the Rocky movies, all of them, even the ones I wasn't supposed to like. I liked Raging Bull, depressing as that one was. Million Dollar Baby was really good.
Mm.
I even liked Grudge Match, which was basically Rocky versus Raging Bull. and now the Prince of Persia himself, Jake Gyllenhaal, is going to be in a boxing movie.
Man, I haven't heard a Prince of Persia reference.
Titled Southpaw. And again, the trailer, we'll put it on the site for those who want to look-see. It appears that Gyllenhaal's a boxer that's had some dark times and has to put himself back together. Now, the trailer will give a lot more information that I don't want to get into because it's just a... It's a teaser. It's just a little bit to get a thought on. But I really like the idea of a serious movie for Jake Gyllenhaal that is in a sport that I actually will watch.
Yeah.
I mean, if this was, you know, Jake Gyllenhaal, you know, lefty pitcher, I probably wouldn't care. The last baseball movie I watched, I'm pretty sure was Field of Dreams.
Jake Gyllenhaal, lefty soccer player.
Yeah, not gonna be a thing. In the last of the trailers that I'm going to announce will be on the Geek Cave.
I am posting these to the website as he announces them.
Do you,
FYI.
Do you want me to skip one and then go back to
No, I've got plenty of time. Go for
it. Great. Spectre, with the James Bond, not the DC character.
Yes, okay.
Has a teaser trailer now.
Ooh.
And someone sometime will need to explain to me how a trailer can last for almost 2 minutes. We're teasing you for 2 to 3 minutes. Gidgy. it's, you know, teasing a toddler for 2 minutes, I get, you know, where you tickle the air and they giggle. You're not touching them. You're teasing me?
It's called foreplay.
They just drop the teaser and call it a trailer.
Yeah.
You know, the best trailers aren't giving you the whole plot anyway.
The best trailers are a double wide.
Fair. Okay.
I don't know why that was so funny.
So there
don't even
that.
Ask. Because
it's late.
Yeah, it's late. I've had a milkshake.
So.
With alcohol.
It turns out.
A alcohol shake. Hmm.
So it turns out that 50 Shades of Grey did really, really well.
Go figure.
What a surprise.
One of the.
People wanted to see mommy porn.
One of the
biggest.
Well,
mommies wanted to see it anyway.
Opening weekends for the studio. But it turns out that the sequel, 50 Shades Darker, great title, folks, is looking for a new director and a new writer. And now this makes sense to me. It really does, because the director, I mean, he just, the previous director had directed a huge money-making movie.
Yeah.
But from everything that I'd read, E.L. James, the writer of the books, was just a little bit too involved with production of the first movie.
Okay.
And ultimately didn't really let the director make the movie he wanted to make.
What movie did he want to make?
I don't know.
I think
but,
it was supposed to be a Twilight fanfic.
Well, that's what the book was, certainly.
Nice but job that, on coming back around.
That's
boom.
The point.
But
that was a fist bump for those of you who couldn't hear it.
But all that being
said. Wait.
Okay.
But it, supposedly E.L. James was so involved with nitpicking certain things, even down to what color of red the red room should be.
Oh, for the love of. Gee, yeah. Red maybe?
Yes, but we're guys. Red encompasses a lot of different colors.
You know what it sounds like to me? Red. Anyway, red. Go ahead.
So I actually can't blame the director for wanting to jump ship, even with the money it made. He's a creator, a director. His or her job is to take source material, whether that's a story, whether that's a script, and interpret it for the cameras to tell a particular story. Whatever we may think of the particular story at hand, that's the director's job.
Yeah.
And if the director can't make that movie, then I don't want to make it. Some people are saying that he's taking his ball and going home. I'm saying that he's keeping his creative integrity as intact as he can after having directed 50 Shades of Grey.
Don't. Justin just got a case of the giggles.
Justin was just thinking he took his ball gag
yes,
and went home.
That was it. That was exactly it. Thank you.
You're very welcome.
Someone had to say it, and
so,
I couldn't.
So Friday the 13th is getting another iteration because, of course, it is.
Yep.
Paramount got the rights from Warner Brothers because Warner Brothers is too busy putting together gritty hero movies to take care of their existing franchises.
Yep.
And already this movie that Paramount is planning is doing three things wrong.
It's set on April 10th.
They haven't even written the bloody thing, and it's already got three things wrong. One, they're planning to release in May instead of October. Releasing on a 16th instead of on a 13th.
Duh.
Now, those are both the same thing.
Yeah.
They're releasing at the wrong time. The second one, they plan on looking into a reason why Jason Voorhees can't die.
Who cares?
Why would you take away that mystery? That's part of the point, is that he's just a juggernaut.
He's the juggernaut, bitch.
And three, the director wants to make it in the style of a found footage style movie.
Oh. No.
And it's like, what?
Nope.com/fuck that.
There's your one.
It doesn't make sense to do it that way.
Yeah.
This is not Blair Witch Project. This is not some kind of unknown. This is... It's Jason. It's a Friday the 13th movies. Make a classic stylized slasher movie. Do a good job with it so that the critics say that it's generic and you will make lots and lots of money.
Yes.
Because the fans want exactly a generic slasher movie out of Friday the 13th. That Friday the 13th is the one that wrote the rules that Scream would later make fun of.
Yeah.
That Friday the 13th 6 would actually make fun of.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, Jennifer Lawrence off of Jason and onto something else. Jennifer Lawrence has announced that X-Men Apocalypse is going to be her last trip as Mystique. It makes sense, I suppose. You know, being connected to the various superhero franchises chews up a lot of time, a lot of stamina, a lot of creative energy. Superhero movies have almost
turned...
A lot of blue paint.
Superhero movies have actually almost become like TV series now.
They really have. I mean, there's so many connectivity.
Keeping the same cast, the same... As much as I kind of hate to say it, the same body style. I mean, no gaining, losing weight unless that's part of your character.
Right.
Unless you're playing the Hulk, of course.
Yeah.
For this whole run. And besides, now that Jennifer Lawrence is a big star, she probably wants to distance herself from some of her more embarrassing movie roles.
I liked her as Mystique.
I did too. I just don't like the X-Men movies.
Well, yeah, that is a thing. So,
that's unfortunate.
So, that Coach TV series revival everyone's been asking. It's coming.
Yes.
13 episodes. It's got Craig T. Nelson.
Yes.
Nothing else needs to be said.
Nope.
Wait, what about Dauber?
We don't know.
Mm.
We also don't know if Jerry Van Dyke, he might be dead.
I don't think he's coming.
Is he dead?
I really
don't know. I probably should have said, look that up.
I'm looking it up now. No,
he's still
going.
Alive. He's still alive. He's, okay. He's 83, but I don't think he's going to be doing the show.
He'll just be a voice on the phone.
Maybe. I don't think.
So
he's become the new dean of the college. He's too busy.
Well, apparently what's supposed to be happening is Coach, who has been retired, comes back as an assistant coach for his son's team. His son is now the head coach.
Hmm.
So
makes sense.
There's certainly possibilities there. Now, how they work themselves out, whatever. Now, I have talked, at least with the two of you, I don't remember if I've talked on The Cave, about the Ip Man movies.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think that the first one was one of the best martial arts movies I've seen, and I've seen lots of them. That's point of opinion. I mean, there are people who will look at other things and say that they're better. The second Ip Man movie had its moments, but it was ultimately a bit of a disappointment. And to make sure that I stay disappointed, they're making an Ip Man 3, and they have cast Mike Tyson, the boxing guy, not the chicken guy.
No.
And it intends to feature a CG Bruce Lee.
No.
Maybe it'll be good, but I'm not counting on it. But by the way, this is, April.
Yeah.
It is a sobering thought, by the way, to realize that by the time Bruce Lee was my age, he had been dead for 3 months.
That man was in shape.
So
he could beat up literally all three of us at once.
And
he could probably still beat up all three of us at once.
So,
which is why I don't say anything disparaging about Mr. Lee.
No. Why would you?
Sifu Lee.
Yes, yes. My apologies.
So, with Joss Whedon stepping
down. Do I have to call him Sifu since I'm not one of his students?
No. But it would still be a term of respect.
Well, I was still being respectful to
Mr.
Lee, yes. If I was a student, then yes, Sifu Lee.
Yes. So with
I don't claim to be one of his students, which is also very respectful.
I'm just going to bow all the way to the floor and not move.
Is that before or after he kicks your head in?
Probably both.
Okay. Please continue, Chad.
Sure. With Joss Whedon stepping away from the Marvel stuff after Avengers 2, what the heck are we going?
Avengers
down. 2. What the heck is going on here anyway? The Russo brothers of Community.
Avengers 2, Buffy Returns.
No, Avengers 2, Short Circuit.
So
it's a robot that's alive.
Oh,
so
good point.
You've got to have a new director or directors. And so the Russo brothers of Community, Captain America, Winter Soldier, and You, Me, and Dupree fame.
It's back.
Are pegged to direct the two Infinity War movies.
I love that console.
Now, I thought that Winter Soldier was a solid movie.
It was great.
It was serious without feeling depressing.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm cautiously optimistic about the fate of the Avengers franchise. I don't think Disney or Marvel would peg anyone to direct without really looking seriously at their body of work.
I mean, this is a big thing for them, so they're going to make sure it's protected.
If this is... I guess, though, if you're going to go out on a sour note, go out, make the last note sour.
Well, I mean, Avengers 3 also will be the first Avengers movie with Spider-Man in it. That's... They want to make sure it's a good one.
Yeah.
So
that's true. Now, I think that once the Avengers franchise is finished, and we're just going to say that Infinity War right now finishes.
Yeah. Then they launch the new Avengers.
Well, I think Marvel and Disney ought to take a victory lap with Inhumans, which is supposed to release after that.
Mm-hmm.
And then just let the franchise sit for about 5 years.
Ooh.
Now, they won't.
No.
They absolutely won't.
No.
But they should. And I think if they just let the whole thing sit and then come back to the movies with a brand new, you know, feature Kamala Khan, feature She-Hulk or Nova, you know, some, take another character that people don't really know. You know, Iron Man was just kind of...
He was a B-lead character before his movie.
People kind of knew who Iron Man was, but they really made him the household, you know, recognized hero that he is with Jon Favreau's, you know, Iron Man. You know, that's a great big deal. So you could do the same thing with Ms. Marvel. And they've been promising us female leads for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
It would be kind of amazing.
Well, we're getting a Captain Marvel game. Not game, movie. I want a Captain Marvel game.
Yes. And this is good. And I'm glad this stuff is working its way through. I also like the idea of Kamala just because a little bit of the diversity.
Right. I get it.
Nice to see. But I would like to, honestly, there's this part of me that would like to see kind of a not courtroom drama She-Hulk, but I mean, that's what she was a lawyer.
Yeah.
You know, and I would like to see something like that that's not necessarily focused on the action stuff, but maybe a bit of the humor, a bit of the...
That one, that might be a Netflix thing.
And that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
That's fine. Daredevil's going to Netflix and...
Think Ally McBeal, but with, you know, She-Hulk.
And talent.
Hmm.
And talent. Well, no, Robert Downey Jr. was in that.
Yeah,
so.
You're right. I retract.
With more talent.
There you go.
But I think if they do this, I mean, they'll garner a whole bunch of new support from people who remember when Iron Man 1 came out.
Yeah.
I mean, the three of us certainly remember when we saw that first Iron Man trailer. It was just the steel door in the cave.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden you saw the fist punching it. And then the music came on. You know, the screen went dark and the music came on and it was really, really cool and really exciting. But we knew who Iron Man was.
Yeah, we did. Yeah.
You know, you could do something very similar with some of these other ones. Now, Nova might show up in Guardians of the Galaxy 2. And there's a few of those, a lot of these characters could show up elsewhere. But we know that we're not going to get X-Men from Marvel Disney. We know we're not going to get, who is it that... you know, we're probably not going to get a whole lot more Spider-Man, honestly, from them.
Yeah.
You know, Marvel will only really get to use Spider-Man for a little bit.
Yeah.
And then sparingly. Sony
Well, they're going to share him. So, you know, Marvel will use him in...
Yeah, Sony will get the right half.
Sony will be doing his solo adventures, and Marvel will be using him in teen movies. Mm-hmm. So, and, you know, who's to say that Peter Parker won't be replaced by Miles Morales eventually?
Nothing says that.
Yeah.
Part of me, though, I'm looking forward to seeing how this, the Avengers, is it A-Force is the...
That's the all-female one, yeah.
The female one. I'm kind of looking forward to how that one shapes up. I would like to see that come...
That'd be great.
...in a...
Oh, yeah.
...quote-unquote Phase 4.
I'd like that.
Yeah.
There'll be something like, all women? Okay, bro handle, why don't you like looking at women? You know.
Makes me feel funny.
Well, then go back to your all-man movies.
Feel even more funny.
Well, then shut the hell up and read a book. Go read 50 Shades.
I can't read.
So
they did a flashcard version. It's fine.
Now, all I have left is a review for a movie that came out in 1988. So what do you guys got, Justin?
Oh, well, a bunch of animation stuff is going on the auction block through Heritage Auctions, April 9th through 10th. And... these are some pretty good stuff. We're talking actual sells from Warner Brothers. What's Opera Doc?
You know, the
kill the wabbit, kill the wabbit. Yeah, I remember.
Gee, Fudsy, get with the times.
Yeah. I mean, artwork from this particular cartoon is rare to begin with, but to have it go up on the auction block is amazing. There's some stuff from Snow White, Warner Brothers, Disney's, you know, big first feature game-changing animated film. In fact, it's right after the Evil Queen becomes the old haggard witch, you know, in her little dungeon laboratory thing. Just an amazing amount of stuff is going to go up on the auction block for no other reason than just to sell it. It's not really benefiting any charity, which is unfortunate.
Yeah.
Because they're expecting, you know, the Snow White one alone.
We're expecting a donation. Just FYI, guys.
The Snow White sale alone has a $40,000 pre-auction estimate.
Yeah, just take that sale and put $1,000 in our coffer.
And Darren
and
will
play
E.T.
for 24 hours.
E.T. for the Atari for 24 hours.
I'm going to need a lot of Monster Energy.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's a shame that none of this stuff is going to benefit a charity or you know, a worthwhile organization. But the fact that it's being sold is something else, you know, altogether. So, you know, if you're interested in that kind of stuff, keep an eye out for it next month. Mm. And, you know, if you happen to buy some of it, you know, throw some money our way because you've obviously got plenty lying around.
Seriously.
Speaking of animation, Nickelodeon, who... They've done some really good animation stuff. I mean, Avatar, Legend of Korra, going back to
the new Ninja Turtle series.
The new Ninja Turtle series, going back to old school, you know, Ren and Stimpy and stuff like that. You know, things that now are a little bit what the heck, but back then they were kind of game changers.
Yeah.
They are partnering with Get Schooled, a national nonprofit organization, to work up a $25,000 scholarship for young animators.
Very cool.
Yeah. It will be available, full guidelines will be available in April at Get Schooled. I don't have their particular website on hand, but it couldn't be that. It's not that hard to find.
You just Google Get Schooled, really.
Get Schooled. And the winners will be announced in the summer of this year. So if you are a young animator looking to further your education but need help doing it, this is a place to look.
Very cool.
So that's all I got.
Okay. Well, all I've got is just a couple of small updates. We have our first official look at Ryan Reynolds as Deadpool in the upcoming 2016 Deadpool film. He's stretched out on a bearskin rug, full costume.
And winking.
It actually looked... He did.
Seriously, one eye is...
Yeah. And it actually looked like the Deadpool suit.
Yeah, it's
I mean,
Deadpool.
This is... I would go out on a limb and say this is probably one of the most comic book accurate suits we've seen in a movie in quite some time. I mean, Sam Raimi's Spider-Man was good. Obviously, the Christopher Reeve Superman suit. But this is right up there. I mean, it looks phenomenal. DeepCavePodcast.com, you just got to see it there. Also, we've got a first look at Jesse Eisenberg as Lex Luthor, and I gotta say, I'm liking what I'm seeing.
He's bald and angry.
He's
like
bald
Lex.
And angry.
He's the greatest criminal mastermind of our time.
It's a little bit Michael Rosenbaumish, you know,
from
Smallville. So you know, now Zack Snyder says that he's not like any of the Lexes you've ever seen. So I don't know what that is going to mean. So,
he's a blogger.
God, I hope not. Now, he is still going to be a captain of industry, according to Snyder. That much is not changing. But
he wears a cape.
The rumor, the scuttlebutt going around is that we've always thought that it's going to be one of those things where Luthor gets maybe Batman to go
after
Superman.
Just get out of the Navy there, sailor?
What?
Scuttlebutt?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah. What?
Nothing. Go.
Just keep going.
Rumor has it that the film will involve Superman being tricked into going after Batman by Lex instead of the popular rumor, which was Batman being tricked into going after Superman.
Because as we all know, Batman doesn't get tricked.
No, Batman's superpower is Deus Ex Machina, as you know. So, and finally, Jubilee, the Well, the best X-Man not named Dazzler will be in X-Men Apocalypse, played by Alana Condor. And they actually got an Asian to play an Asian character. That's, wow, that's kind of groundbreaking. That'll be in 2016, X-Men Apocalypse. And maybe Jubilee will have more than, you know, a cameo shot like she's had in all the other X-Men movies. Hmm. I'm looking forward to it because I think she's underrated. I mean, at one point she could not only shoot fireworks out of her hands, but also was a vampire. So,
yeah,
that would be pretty sweet. Best part was when she was riding Wolverine's shoulders and going, "Rawr!" You should look up her solo book. Anyway, that's all that I've got.
Okay. Well, if that's all we got, then all we've got left is a review of a movie of from 1988.
Well, Kent, if you would be so kind.
And now, it's time for Chad Savage's Random Movie Review.
So I'm reviewing Oliver and Company this month as part of my Year of Disney. I don't know if I'll actually be reviewing a movie next month.
Yeah, we might be a little
with
packed.
With all the game stuff going on,
Maybe we should have a Disney game for you to review.
A three-hour-long...
You could review Kingdom Hearts.
Just make him watch all the cutscenes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord. That's awful.
It's about 2 hours long, about 2.5 hours.
Yeah, there you go.
So... this movie came out in 1988, so if you were born sometime between 1975 and 1980, this may be your favorite animated Disney movie, and you may not like what I have to say about it. You've been warned.
I was born in 81, so I'm okay. I'm
safe. Liked Oliver and Company, so I am bracing myself.
You liked Rockadoodle. Shut up.
You shut your hole. Rockadoodle is a timeless treasure.
So, right away...
I'm kidding. It's terrible.
Which movie do you really remember more, this or The Land Before Time?
Ooh, I remember Land Before Time more.
Because those two movies released on the same day.
Well,
holy shit.
I think I remember Before Time more because of Tyrannosaurus Murder.
Because it was really good.
It was really good.
So, anyway.
It had Tree Star.
And I remember what happened to BT afterwards.
Oliver and Company begins with Huey Lewis singing a song about the city of New York over a bunch of credits.
Yep.
Why? Because children of the 80s knew how to sit still and watch a Goram movie when it was turned on.
Uh-huh.
Even if it started with a bunch of credits and weird line art.
Mm-hmm.
The movie proper begins with a box of kitties for sale. And yes, kitties. That's how it's written on the box.
Kitties.
Not kittens. Kitties.
Kitties.
Each for $5 because it's the 1980s. You got to make your money where you can make your money.
Mm-hmm.
Trickle down economics, you know.
Radionomics.
This goes until only one is left, and then the price is free, and there's still no takers.
Aww.
Saddest opening of a Disney movie until Up would take the crown. the cat, Oliver, then almost drowns in his box before he is almost flushed down a drain.
Yep.
On his box.
Yep.
Only to escape from that, get attacked by a bunch of very large, angry-looking dogs, and ultimately sleeping in a truck's wheel well to get out of the rain because, of course, it's raining.
It's New York. Of course it is.
Yeah. So Oliver, whose name is not Oliver yet, it won't become Oliver until, almost all the way through the, more than halfway through the movie. But Oliver is unable to get any food. He tries bribing a hot dog vendor by purring and doing the cat thing.
Here's some love. Give me food.
And even after he helps Billy Joel steal the hot dogs, Billy Joel voices the dog.
Okay,
the
I was Dodger. Wondering because, yeah.
Even after he helps Billy Joel get the hot dogs, Billy Joel selfishly says, "No, these are my hot dogs. Go get your own tube steaks."
See, this is before he and Christie Brinkley divorced, so he didn't need to steal the hot dogs then. It's just him being a jerk.
So... immediately after the heist, the Dodger, and that's what he's just called the Dodger, sings the breakout song of the movie titled Why Should I Worry, all the while keeping the poor starving kitten from even a single tube steak. We come to find that the Dodger is part of a gang of dogs that live with and grift for Fagin, voiced by Dom DeLuise, who is voicing some poor dude that's under the thumb of a loan shark named Sykes. And that's pretty much where all the names come from the actual book, Oliver Twist. Everything else is made up.
Yep.
Fagin has 3 days to pay back the loan, or something unpleasant happens. It's a little vague.
Probably Disney movie, of course.
Yeah. So the next day, everybody goes out to get some money in the process of a scam to steal a radio from a limousine. I kid you not.
No, I just didn't remember it.
Oliver the cat is taken home and adopted by a little girl. The gang breaks him out, even though he doesn't want to go. Fagin notices the shiny new collar that Oliver, who now has a name, is wearing, and realizes that Oliver was adopted by a rich family, writes the world's worst grammatically literate ransom note, saying that, you know, bring money or you don't get the kitty.
Mm-hmm.
Only to change his mind when he realized that he's just kidnapped a kitten from a little girl who just brought him her piggy bank.
Yeah.
The little girl is then kidnapped by Sykes because...
Psych!
Let's get a little dark.
Yeah.
Fagin and the gang save the girl. They kill Sykes. They kill his dogs. Everyone celebrates at a birthday party.
Yay! Oh, dead dogs.
No. Oh, yeah. And they get electrocuted on the third rail of the subway.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Not a pleasant way to go. I would love to say more about this movie, but it is like super forgettable. I watched it this afternoon, and already I don't remember everything that was going on. There's some good songs. The opener, the Big Billy Joel song. There's a song that Bette Midler. Oh, yeah. Bette Midler.
Bette Midler's in the movie. She's in
this. She sings a song about being perfect, and it's really good. It's very funny, and at the end of the song, you really want to just dump Bette Midler in a big puddle of mud just because the way she sings in her character, you believe that she's really just that horrible.
Yeah.
But the art style doesn't really set it apart. The story's generic at best. It's inoffensive, but it also it's not memorable. Mm. It's like they went out of their way to be inoffensive and lost any edge there might have been that would have made it stick out.
Well, this was before the big animation renaissance they had.
Well, this is the one... the next one after this was The Little Mermaid.
And that's where it started.
And Oliver and company used a lot of new sound effects, and Little Mermaid would use even more new ones. They dumped a bunch of the old classic sound effects that were heard in like Great Mouse Detective and the Black Cauldron, Snow White, even back.
Yeah,
to
they
Snow
go
White.
From the Great Mouse Detective to Oliver and Company to the Little Mermaid.
Yeah, which you know,
it's like
Great
Oliver
Mouse
and Company
was really memorable.
Yeah, it's like you know Oliver and Company's this like this little odd chapter between two books.
Well, and this is one of the first times that they used a lot of computer animation. I mean, Black Cauldron and Great Mouse Detective used computer animation for a couple of their sequences, the more intense sequences.
The big clock tower thing in Great Mouse Detective, yes.
In this one, they used it for nearly all of the background, all the skyscrapers, a lot of the stuff going on in this one was done with computers. You can kind of tell. You can kind of tell that, okay, here's computer and here's...
Something just feels
here's
wrong.
Here's not... There's a disconnect, and maybe that was the point. You know, we want the foreground to pop out. You know, we want this action to appear very rich and lush and let this other stuff kind of fade into the background.
Mm-hmm.
But what it does is it looks cheap. Mm. It's like watching an old Yogi Bear cartoon, you know, where the background just keeps rotating and you see the same
Flintstones, it's like the same two houses, yeah.
Hey, over boo-boo, and over again. Didn't we pass that bush?
I don't know, Yogi. Yogi. Check it for poo.
But
we passed it.
What it feels like is that Disney was pretty much just phoning it this one in rather than trying to create a good or even I don't want to say a good story. It's based on Oliver Twist from Charles Dickens, which is not a bad story. But it's like they didn't want to keep any of the hard stuff or even the irony or the biting cynicism that Charles Dickens had in Oliver Twist in making it kid-friendly right up until the Dobermans get electrocuted on the subway line.
Well,
so...
Here's what I'm looking at. I'm looking at a list of Disney animated movies and release dates and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
Almost a year to the day The Little Mermaid was released. Like, one day before, you know, a year later. So I'm thinking you know, they phoned in Oliver and company because they were still working on The Little Mermaid.
And that's probably true. It doesn't really justify.
It doesn't.
Because while they were working on Great Mouse Detective, they were probably working on.
Well, no, because 2 years passed between Great Mouse Detective and Oliver and company, and only 1 year passed between Oliver and Little Mermaid.
Well, if you want to see it, go see it. But see it with a group of friends, see it with other people, so you can talk to each other over the dull bits, which, unfortunately, is more of the movie than it really should be.
Mm.
So far this year, this is the weakest of the Disney movies I've watched so far this year. Now,
weaker than Sleeping Beauty? Because
in overall quality, yeah.
Mm.
Sleeping Beauty had some problems with some of its characterizations, but it all tied together in a real cohesive
right. unit.
This has cohesive scenes, but then the transition between them is very jarring.
I gotcha.
So it comes down to construction. I would say that Sleeping Beauty is probably the second weakest, but that might also be my taste.
Okay.
But we're also only 4 months in, so. Yeah.
There's time.
I still haven't gotten any of the new ones. I might still get to watch Dinosaur sometime this year.
Oh, that's going to be a review to listen to.
So, that's all I got.
All right.
Now, don't forget to support us on the Extra Life for the...
Yep, coming up.
For Children's Miracle Network.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep.
I kept wanting to say Children's Hospitals.
Specifically Cardinal Glennon Children's Hospital, but Children's Miracle Network, yes. And, again, you can find the details at thegeeknexus.com or geekcavepodcast.com, or the best way, easiest way anyway, facebook.com/geekcave, where it's just pinned to the top of the page so you can't miss it.
Yeah.
And, of course, don't forget to check us out on iTunes and Stitcher. And, of course, follow us on social media, whether it's Facebook or on Twitter at geekcavepodcast, where we will be keeping you up to date on the entire Extra Life Marathon, which now is looking to be more than 30 hours of content. So you're going to want to follow us, and, you know, please donate. We're not asking for your money directly. We want you to give your money so that these kids can have a fighting chance. And that's really what it's all about.
Yes.
So, all right.
Think of the children.
Won't someone please think of the children? And think of forcing me to play E.T. for 24 hours.
That's right. $1,000. That's all it takes.
That's the challenge. All right. For Justin, for Chad, for the magnanimous Cantaris, I'm Darren. Thanks a lot for listening. And remember, everyone is a geek for something.